The sermon title today is The Backup Plan. And this sermon is really the second in a series of In the Spirit. And there's going to be another one that's going to follow this next week. We talk about that the Holy Spirit is to lead and to guide and direct, that you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But still, sometimes, many times in our life, we still struggle with our walk. And that's why that much more that we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need to be endued with His power from on high. And He wants to give us that gift if we will receive that gift. And there's so many people in this day and age, they're not talking about it anymore. It makes people feel uncomfortable to speak about speaking in tongues or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's very evident through the book of Acts and all the way through the book of Acts that believers were not only saved, not only baptized in water, but also baptized in the Holy Spirit, endued with power from on high, so they could become witnesses. It's not only strengthens your walk in witnessing, it's also strengthens your personal walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we don't hear a lot of confusion and a lot of negativity about the occult or so many other things that are going on or so many things that are on TV that are negative and so unbiblical. But when you start to mention anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues, people say, oh, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want anything to do with that. I have not been taught that. That is not my background. The adversary does not want you to have it. Get this straight in your head. The Holy Spirit is here to equip you, to strengthen you, to immerse you in His power and His authority. And it's something that Satan does not want you to have, because when you have it, it will strengthen your personal walk. It'll strengthen your prayer life. He doesn't want you to have it because he wants to continue to battle and wage war against you. And when you got that in your life, he's lost a step. Maybe more than a step, but he's lost that in your life. He doesn't want you to have it. That's why that much more, as it's taught in the scripture, that we need to embrace and we need to lean in towards what God has for each and every one of us. So this sermon is really the second in a series of In the Spirit. Did you make it this week? Did you make it this past week? Were you able to stay in a position of walking in the Spirit? Or was there a time that you got over in the flesh? Or should we say that you wanted to, but maybe you didn't? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, yes, that I have been born again. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to go to Galatians 5. We're going to leave Galatians 5, but then we'll be coming back to it if it's something, a place you want to save in your Bible. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, Galatians 5, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have listened. Now listen to the words. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Have you crucified the flesh in your life that no longer is that going to be a part of my life? Are you walking daily in the Spirit today? No longer walking in your old nature? Or are there times you still want to get over in that old nature? The sermon title is The Backup Plan. Now let me explain. Now turn with me to Romans 13. We'll come back to Galatians, but turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Romans 13 and then verse 14. So Romans 13 and verse 14. And verse 14 says this. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. We see a word here that's not used very much in our English language today, and that's the word provision. To be provisioned up means that you are prepared. I have all the safeguards in place. If something happens, I am prepared. It's a backup plan for things if they go wrong or not in the way that you think that they should go. Then I'm ready and I can respond with the backup plan because I have a provision. Many years ago, I'll give you an example. Many years ago, I knew a lady in the church and she gave a roaster to the church. And any time that that roaster was used during a fellowship, she never failed to mention, I'm the one that gave that roaster to the church. But if she got mad at the church and leave the church, and guess what? She would take the roaster with her. If every church she attended over the years would have had the pastor autograph that roaster on the back, it could probably be a pretty famous roaster today. But you see, she had made provision. And it was provision to the flesh. It was provision to her old nature. Well, if this is going to happen, or if this is will happen, this is what I'm going to do. Have you ever thought that or done that? Well, if they say this to me, or they do that, this is what I'm going to say, and this is what I'm going to do. Well, that's making provision to your old nature. You've already got a backup plan. You've already provisioned up. If they say something that is negative to you, you're going to respond in like manner. Well, look at verse 14. In verse 14, it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Here in Romans 13, 14, the Lord says, don't do that. Don't make a backup plan for what might happen in the flesh. Seems silly about the roaster, doesn't it? But it was very true. She had a backup plan. You make me mad, I'm going to pick up my toys and I'm going to take them with me. The next church she attended, I'm giving this roaster to the church. And every fellowship you had, she would always mention, I give this roaster to the church. Did she ever give it to the church? No, she did not. Did she ever give it over to the Lord? No, she did not. It was still, she had her hands on that roaster that she could control it and she could dominate it, because if you made her mad, she's going to take it with her. She had provision for the flesh. If this is going to happen, this is what I'm going to do. Now, you would be shocked if I told you, but I will tell you something, and many of you probably have already thought about it at one time or another, but there are people that go into marriage with a provision for the flesh. There are people that go into marriage with the provision of the flesh, because if this happens, let me tell you, if you've been burnt once, you're burned all the time, right? So if you get burnt in a relationship, you go into the next relationship, you want to put all those safeguards behind you that if anything fails, I've got a backup plan. I got a provision for my flesh that I can get myself out of this. Not saying that we always should walk not in the flesh, but we should walk in the Spirit. We should walk in the Spirit. If you're going to bring everything into your next relationship with provision and with a plan and with a backup plan, how do you think that's going to work out? It's a very difficult thing. And I understand the difficulty. Never in my sermons have I ever done a sermon that I wanted to hurt somebody or speak down to somebody. Divorce is a terrible, terrible thing. Husband and wives, you need to look at each other in the eyes after this service today and say, no matter what takes place, no matter what happens, I don't have a backup plan. This is it. We're going to make this work no matter what. Because that's what God wants in your life. And that's the betterment for you as a couple in your relationship. The adversary will do everything in his power to make what you've been worrying about happen. You see, the adversary isn't all-knowing, right? God is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present. Satan is none of those things. We attribute too much power to him. He is limited with his ability and with his power. He's just very good at what he does. The things that you are concentrating on, the things that you are worrying about, he identifies with that. He recognizes that in your life. Look at the life of Job. What happened to Job? The things that he was worried about was the things that happened in his life. We need to walk in the freedom and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, he doesn't have a bunch of things that he can attach himself to. But if you have always got this provision in your life of the flesh, he wants to attach himself to that because he can attack you through that. He does not want you walking in the spirit. He wants you walking in the flesh. He wants you to get over in the flesh. Because when you hurt your testimony, you usually damage someone else's at the same time. Do you realize that? If we have a backup plan for the flesh and we respond in a fleshly manner, we not only hurt our own testimony, but we're going to hurt somebody else's testimony or their walk with God at the same time. Look at the verses that are before this in Romans chapter 13. In verse 11, it says this, "And do this, knowing the time now is high time to awake out of sleep. But now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness, not in lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." When you get up in the morning, what's the first thing you put on? Well, the first thing you should put on is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That you're going to walk that day in His grace, His mercy, and by His Spirit. But we see here in verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." In verse 11, "Do this, knowing the time now is high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the days at hand." Saints, we are living on the dawning of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the papers. Listen to the news. The lawlessness is on an unprecedented scale as never before. There are wars and rumors of war that we haven't experienced in our life. Look at the nation of Israel. There are false teachers at a scale that we have never seen before. Saints, we need to get over in the spirit, stay there, and walk in it because the Lord is going to return. Amen. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin." Remember, we talked about that when we were born again, that we were dead, dead, spiritually dead. Jesus made us alive. It says, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world." So when you didn't know Jesus, what were you walking to? You were walking to your flesh. You was walking to your desires, what you wanted. So when we talk about the flesh, we are talking about the throne of our life. And who's on the throne of your life? You are. You are. And when you are on the throne of your life instead of God, you are in rebellion with God. So when we walk in the flesh, we are rebelling against God and what God desires for each and every one of our lives. "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." You were walking in the will of the adversary. You were walking in the will of Satan. You were a child of Satan when you did not know Jesus. You were under his dominance, his control. But when we were born again, we are no longer under his dominance or in control. We are walking in the spirit to live by the spirit. Amen. So in verse 3, "among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature children of wrath just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, they might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which prepared beforehand that," what? "That we should walk in them." Let's have the Lord find us when he returns walking in the Spirit. Amen. Being about the Father's business in each and every one of our lives. Now turn back with me to Galatians chapter 5. I said that we were going to go back there. You're only a couple pages away. Galatians 5 verse 25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The only way that we can do this, of verse 22 and 23. So the only way that we can accomplish verse 22 and 23. Now let's read verse 22 and 23. 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. The only way that you can accomplish those two verses to walking in the Spirit of God is because of verse 24. Look at verse 24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The only way that I can walk in the Spirit of God is when I crucify the fleshly things that are in my life. This world doesn't even know what love is. Sometimes we can say a lot of definitions of love. I don't think we'll fully, truly understand the word love until we get to heaven. And then we're going to experience it. So much love in this world that we live in today is by manipulation, by control, by domination. And people think that that's what love is, because the adversary wants to take everything that God has created for good and he wants to destroy it. He wants to twist it. So many a times that we have an ideal of love that is twisted. So many times we have a love in our lives that if you will do this, I will do this. If you act this way, I will act this way. You know what love is in the Spirit? Is love without a shadow of a doubt. It doesn't matter how you treat me. It doesn't matter what you do to me. It does not matter what you do. Because my love, the foundation of the love that I have in my life is from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not from you. So you heard your pastor say not too long ago, I said, there's not one thing that you can do that I will ever stop loving you. There is nothing you can do that I will stop loving you. There is nothing that you can do that I would not forgive you for. That's the attitude that we as the body of Christ should have one another. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you speak harshly to me. I'm still going to love you. It doesn't matter if you get mad at me because we have decisions about things and things that the pastor has to say that sometimes aren't very agreeable. But it doesn't matter because I'm still going to love you. If we make that decision in our life, you're going to experience something in this church that the world has never experienced. Amen. Because they've never experienced that kind of love. What does it say in the first church in the book of Acts? They had all things in common. I believe that they loved each other, and I believe that those people had made a decision in their life. It doesn't matter what somebody does. It doesn't matter what they don't do. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Every one of us need to make that decision in our own life. Verse 16 and 17. Same chapter. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you cannot do the things that you wish. You ever been there? Absolutely. You remember when Paul says in the book of Romans, he says, I do the things I don't want to do, and I can't do the things I want to do. It's a battle of the flesh. It's a battle of the Spirit. I know what I need to be doing. I know what I need to be concentrating, but all of a sudden I find myself over here. We've all been involved in that. Have you ever heard it said, I was raised from my childhood into adulthood, and now I have spent all of my adulthood trying to get over my childhood? There's many people that can relate to that. And maybe we all can to a certain degree. So I'll read that again. I was raised from my childhood into my adulthood, and now I've spent all of my adulthood getting over my childhood. Yes, many of us can relate to that, depending on new experience. Sometimes you can be 68 years old, and something will happen. It will take you right back to your childhood when it happened to you then. We can relate to it. The things of the past always want to seem to resurrect themselves. All the ugly and all the bad. All our old nature likes to do that as well. It wants to resurrect itself. In verse 17, it says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you not do the things which you wish." Satan's temptation was what? In the flesh. He wanted Jesus to get over in the flesh and deny the word of God. I need to make that cautious effort or conscious effort to stay focused, to walk in the Spirit. Every day we get up in the morning, I need to look in the mirror and say, "Pastor Leo, you're going to face adversity today, and you're going to may face things that are ugly. You need to stay in the Spirit. You need to stay in the Spirit." As we walk, and as He's doing that work, as transforming us into the very image of Jesus. And you know how He does it? He does it through the work of sanctification. You're sanctified by the Spirit of the living God, and you're sanctified by His Word. So you today, and I've repeated this many, many times over, there's times you won't feel like coming to church, but when you walk out the doors, you'll feel so much better than you did when you came in, and you'll say to yourself, "Man, I'm glad I went to church today." Why is that? Because you've heard the reading of the Word, you sat under the presence of the Holy Spirit. Through that work, He does that work of sanctification, that cleansing, that separating in your life. And every day, say, we need that in our life. Are you spending time in prayer? Are you spending time sitting under the presence of the Holy Spirit? Are you spending time in the Word to strengthen yourself in the most innermost, that you will stay in the Spirit? You know what it's like when you fall out of church. Fall out of church for a month or two. See where you go. You go right back into the same old behaviors that you used to. If you're not cautious. Doesn't mean you're not saved. But you have a tendency to get back in the flesh and start walking in that way. Think of one thing today. Think of one thing today or one area in your life. What is it that you need to work on to stay in the Spirit? What is that thing? You know what it is, and I'm not going to ask you what it is. It's between you and your relationship with your Heavenly Father. If I said to you today, there is one thing, Holy Spirit's going to, I'll fill in for the Holy Spirit, okay, just for a moment. Holy Spirit says there's one thing in your life right now you need to work on. Because there's times you're getting over the flesh and you're not walking in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is telling you that you need to walk in the Spirit. Now, we said that last week, we made this example. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three are one. They're one in their relationship, and they're one together. The Holy Spirit is one with the Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit that you receive, the indwelling of your spirit, because we're going to get into the baptism next week, but the indwelling of the Spirit that you received is in perfect harmony with God. Amen. Now think about that just a moment. You have been born again by the Spirit of the living God. There's part of you that wants to walk in perfect harmony with God, and that's the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. If you get out of harmony with God in your relationship and in your walk, what are you doing? You're getting over into the flesh, and the flesh is not in harmony with God. Only the Holy Spirit is. Walk in the Spirit. That balance that is in our life, that we cannot do the things that we would, is because we've got over in the flesh in that area of our life. The Holy Spirit in your life is perfect. Now, if we take this to another example, the Holy Spirit has perfect joy. The Holy Spirit has perfect happiness. The Holy Spirit has perfect peace. So if I said to you, in your life, are you walking in joy? Are you walking in happiness? Are you walking in peace in this world that you're walking in today? And you say, no, there's sometimes I really struggle. It's because you're over in the flesh. Because the Holy Spirit is in perfect unity with God. And because it is in perfect unity with God, if you will walk in that perfect unity or in that harmony with God, then you will be in harmony with your relationship. You ever wonder why some Christians have more peace than others? You wonder why some Christians have less fear than other Christians? Have you ever wondered why some Christians have more joy than other Christians? It's because they're walking in the Spirit and they're not walking in the flesh. That's the difference. So you can't never say, Pastor Leo, you got something that I don't have. When I was born again, the same Spirit that came in me was the same Spirit that came in Jeanette. The same Spirit that came in me was the same Spirit that came in Dennis. We have the same Spirit. There's not a division in the Spirit. The Spirit is one with God. If I am not walking in joy and peace and harmony and not walking always in the fear, it's because I am not walking in the Spirit. I am walking in the flesh. Amen. So when I say in Philippians chapter 4, if my mind is right, that if you will make your request known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. If you say, you can say that, Pastor Leo, I can read that, Pastor Leo, I just can't get there. And I'm going to say, you need to get in the Spirit. Because it's available. What's available to the Word of God is available to you and me today. And sometimes we want to differentiate that out. The same Spirit that I received is the same Spirit that you received. The same thing that I received is the same thing that you received. What is the difference? Well, there's different callings. I'm called to be a pastor. You may not be called to be a pastor, but the same Spirit's in me is the same Spirit in you. So what's the difference? I've grown. I've grown in my relationship. I've worked on developing that relationship. I've been sitting under the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit for a long time. So the same thing, if you want to look up to me, I'm not saying you need to, but if you look up to me and say, I want the same thing Pastor Leo is, it's available to you as it's available to anybody else, because the Spirit of God that indwells our life is for everybody. Amen. Now next week we're going to get into the baptism. So we're going to stop here for today. But what is that one thing in your life right now that you need to work on? If you say you don't have something to work on, you're lying to yourself, because we all have something to work on. Maybe you struggle with more fear than other people, and you need to connect yourself to the Spirit. Lord, I want to put my trust in you. I don't want to put my trust in this world. I want to walk in that peace and that security that you have. Maybe it's anger. You ever made provision for anger? Yeah, we all have. If this guy says this to me, I'm going to punch him right in the nose. That's provision to the flesh. We've all done that. If they say this, this is what I'm going to say back. They treat me this way, this is how I'm going to treat them back. We've already made provision for the flesh. Let's walk in the Spirit. Let God bless us. We don't need their blessings. We need God's. Father, we just come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask that, Lord, you bless our time of fellowship. You bless the food to our bodies and the hands that prepared it. And Father, we just pray that, Lord, as we have that fellowship, you would bless the unity in this church and the love in this church. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you reveal to each and every one of us, and I'm sure you already have, by the Holy Spirit, what is that one thing in our life that we need to work on, that we need to be strengthened in, that we need to work on allowing the Holy Spirit to sanctify us, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, to get that thing in our life of the flesh out of our life. I pray that, Lord, as you reveal that to us, I pray that this week will be a week that we will begin to work on it earnestly, that I need to walk in the Spirit and I need to stay in the Spirit and not get in the flesh in my life. I pray that, Lord, you would bless this congregation and you would bless these people for their faithfulness and for their love. And I ask it all today. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. 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 You are dismissed.